This brings back memories. Hay stacking, hay throwing. And at the end of it all, one lucky boy would be crowned Hay King. I always wanted to be Hay King. But the world shines on Moe's.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. We are back to weekly. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. If for whatever reason you can't find the podcast on your app of choice, make sure, one, you're searching the right term, NY space Giants space weekly. And two, it might be an error, so it might not be on that podcast app. DM me, send me a tweet. I'll make sure to submit the RSS feed to that app so you can listen and that it's convenient for everyone. Okay, got that out of the way. Great episode last week with Jordan. Always a blast having him on. Giants bye week, but a pretty important game upcoming against a very hamstrung Bengals team who just lost their franchise quarterback and won't have their starting running back either for the matchup. But first, Weiss, how are you?
I'm good, Ethan. How are you? We are now in it's basically the fourth quarter of the NFL season.
Yes.
Once you get to Thanksgiving weekend, it's like we're in the fourth quarter. You know,
yeah.
This is the stretch run. And for the first time in, 4 years, the Giants are going to be playing meaningful football.
Well, by Thanksgiving. So we hope. So we hope.
Well, by Thanksgiving.
Yes, this is true. The game this weekend does mean a lot. I don't really know where to start. We could start with the Joe Judge, Mark Colombo news, because that broke the day after we had Jordan on.
Right.
And that news was very telling. I think we had Jordan give us a lot of insights into the beautiful mind of Joe Judge and his sway within the organization. And I don't think that there was any better example of that than what went down between both him and Mark Colombo and what it means going forward. And I loved it personally. I think it shows that this guy is the captain. He's running this ship. And any decisions, any big personnel decisions, be it on his staff, be it on his roster moving forward, it's his way or the highway. And I think that if John Mara, Chris Mara, Steve Tisch try to get in his way, there's going to be some problems. And very Belichickian of him to put his flag in the sand, so to speak, and say, I want this guy out. I want this guy in. You don't let me build this team the way I want to build this team, then you guys can start from square one because I'm out of here. At least that's the vibe that I'm getting.
I don't think it's the vibe isn't to me is like, if you guys don't let me do it my way, I'm out. I think it's more so, hey, like he's marking his territory. Like, it's my coaching staff, you know, but in regards to the Colombo Judge thing, the big thing was Mark Colombo was insubordinate. You know, like, and in any type of, you know, manager, employee, boss, employee relationship, you can't disrespect your boss the way Mark Colombo allegedly did. And if you do, you're going to get fired, you know. And I saw the video from Mike Garofalo, who, I mean, he is, in terms of Giant news, I mean, he's as connected as I think anyone. And he broke it down pretty simply, you know. Dave DiMillo? I'm just going to call him Dave D.
DiGuglielmo? I don't know how to pronounce it, honestly. Yeah.
Right. Well, whatever his last name is, I'm going to call him Dave D. Kate was supposed to come in as a consultant. Now, yeah, obviously the writing is on the wall, but again, it's about the team. It's about making the team better. And Mark Colombo put himself above the team. And remember, as Garofalo pointed out, Dave D was only signed till the end of the year, while Colombo is in year one of a 4-year deal. So whether or not this was a transition or not, you know, you're under contract for 4 years. They bring this guy in till the end of the year. It seems like this was, it could have been just a temporary thing. I don't know. Point being, you can't be insubordinate to your boss and put yourself above the team and then get fired. Now, the funniest thing about all this was that Twitter thread from Mike Silver. Because
yes,
that to me was like, I felt like I was reading Mark Colombo's burner account. Because he basically just, anything that Joe Judge might have said that he probably wouldn't say in front of a microphone to, you know, the press, he seemed like Mark Colombo basically brought it out there. The comment about Tom Brady.
That was wild.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had that kind of conversation with somebody about Tom Brady where it's like, hey, maybe Tom Brady, like, did Tom Brady benefit from the Bill Belichick system? And I think a lot of people would agree that, yeah, he did, you know, to some degree, come to the perfect place with the perfect head coach. But nonetheless, it just seemed as though Mike Silver was just carrying the water for Mark Colombo. But ultimately, for me, it comes down to, listen, Joe Judge is trying to build his type of program. He's trying to do a team-first type thing. And you can't have a coach do that. Now, you talk about it, Bill Belichickian. Obviously, you don't want a situation where a head coach is just trying to... You don't want Joe Judge to be try to be Bill Belichick. You want him to be Joe Judge. But to me, this furthermore proves that this offensive staff, particularly Jason Garrett, could have been something that was, I'm not going to say forced on, but
yeah,
you might want to hire this guy as offensive coordinator.
You're making a lot of good points, some of which I want to touch on. So one, the insubordination, you're absolutely right. You can't do that.
No.
But what we found out is that it started even before that blow up in the meeting and before DeGuglielmo, so I'll call him Dave D, or until we figure out the pronunciation, in practice where Joe Judge is correcting Nick Gates' form, Colombo takes exception to that, disagreeing, so on and so forth. This is why I think, and why I called it Belichickian. And of course, you want your head coach to be his own head coach. You don't want him to try to mimic someone else's style. But as a young coach who came up under Bill Belichick, there's going to be some natural similarities in how they do things because he learned from the quote-unquote master. Firing Mark Colombo in year one of a four-year contract in which Mark Colombo was the offensive line coach for Jason Garrett in Dallas. You just touched on it. We have had some little birdies tell us that Jason Garrett, I wouldn't say he's on the hot seat, but his seat is warm.
Absolutely.
And it was very obvious from the beginning that this is a guy that was brought in because of his quote-unquote familiarity with the Giants. And that was something that, and pardon the siren outside, I live right like across the street from a firehouse, so they're pulling out right now. And a guy that we were all of the impression of brought in by Mara had the familiarity aspect. Little birdie's telling us that he's on the warm seat, not the hot seat, but his seat's a little warm. And you have to wonder if Joe Judge is firing guys like Mark Colombo that were obviously brought in by Jason Garrett. I think that's the next obvious progression, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think, again, this is Joe Judge putting, like, basically marking his territory. And I think that whether or not Jason Garrett is back next year, I think there's still, you know, we don't know yet. Obviously, the seat, I do believe the seat is warm, but this is something that I keep having to point out to people with this Mark Colombo situation is that Mark Colombo, first of all, undermined the head coach when you talked about Nick Gates, and then said inappropriate things to the head coach. So this notion that, well, this is Joe Judge trying to be, you know, a tyrant leader like a Bill O'Brien or somebody like that, I don't view it that way. I just, like, the guy was, Dave D was brought in as an assistant or a consultant, whatever you want to call him, for the rest of the year. whether or not that transition was going to take place, who knows? But for him to put himself above the team at this stage of the season, I mean, you're basically asking to get fired. And anybody would have been fired if they would have acted this way, in my opinion. And it's warranted. So that's my take on it, man. I think that it's really people will say there's a lot of gray area, but to me it's black and white. You had a assistant coach disrespect the head coach in a meeting, and then try to undermine the head coach when the head coach is working with the players. Like, it's, I don't know what more. It's a fireable offense, right? Agreed. There, in my opinion.
So writing is on the wall, in my opinion. There are going to be some big changes this offseason, personnel wise, on the staff and on the roster. And I'm excited to see what Joe Judge does.
I think so, yeah. I mean, we talked about it with Jordan last week. I think, I don't know, we talked about final say, but and who has the bigger say. But to me, Joe Judge's voice is pretty strong. Not just,
agreed. All right.
The front office, but in the entire
Bengals game. Let's talk Bengals. Giants, last I checked, were six-point favorites. Up from a pick'em with the Joe Burrow news, naturally. Yeah. That was a nasty-looking injury. So one of the great things about the Giants having a bye week is that, one, there's no opportunity for them to ruin your Sunday, but also you get to watch Red Zone all day, which is something I don't normally get to do. Sometimes I'll have it on, like my laptop or something on the side, but, you know, Giants get TV One. That's the deal.
Yeah.
So, regardless, they get TV One always.
Really, they still get TV One at your house? Oh, they've been downgraded to the iPad.
Well, listen, that means your Sunday is probably
Red Zone
is now
on the main TV.
With Red Zone on, I'm fucking pissed that Hansen decided to show the replay of Joe Burrow's knee injury like over and over and over again. It was that's gruesome. Probably my worst fear.
Yeah.
As someone who's not even an athlete anymore, you know, back in the day, sure, and I tore my meniscus playing soccer, but watching his knee just, it makes you sick to your stomach. Yep.
Like it popped, the knee popped out and then popped back in. It was pretty nasty. And I mean, Joe Burrow, I think, is a stud. And for him now, he's going to be out the rest of the year, obviously. Now, next year is in doubt, too, because of the injury. So we could be talking Joe Burrow being out till 2022, which is just a huge blow to the Bengals. But whenever Joe Burrow comes back on the field, I mean, for the love of God, the Bengals need to get an offensive line in front of him. I mean, this guy, you never want to, like, say, like, oh, this guy, he's going to, like, injuries suck. But the way the offensive line of the Bengals played, to me, it was almost a matter of time before Joe Burrow was going to, like, get hurt. Because, like, I actually watched, I want to say, two or three Bengal games, including that Thursday night game at the beginning of the season against the Browns. And Joe Burrow just got destroyed. Now, obviously, he's a rookie, and you know, obviously he's going to hold the ball longer. He's going to try to improvise, and he's going to take hits as he tries to make plays. But he was just getting destroyed all season long, and I just kept thinking to myself, man, this dude is going to get hurt. Like, this offensive line sucks. Zach Taylor, I mean, there's a lot of questions about whether he should be the head coach for the Bengals going forward. But, man, if you're the Bengals, you need to build an offensive line.
Yes.
And you need to do it before Joe Burrow takes the field again. Because he's going to get killed.
I mean, our good friend, Art Stapleton, put out a tweet about how this is a game we're going to learn a lot about the Giants.
Yeah.
I disagree. This is, of all the games left on the schedule, we both do. Listen, that's the beauty of social media and living in a democracy. Yeah. Freedom of speech and being able to civilly disagree with each other, despite the fact that that has not been a common theme over the last 4 years. But, especially on Twitter. But,
especially
this is a game
that
the Giants should win. This, you tweeted out the stat of the 12 wins the Giants have since 2018. Yeah. Seven of them have been against backup quarterbacks. It's garbage. That's dog shit. The team has been bad. You're a damn near 7-point touchdown favorite against the team that just lost its rookie starting quarterback. This is a win. If you don't win this game, yeah, it's telling about the Giants. But they should win this game easily, no problem. And then the rest of their season, that's going to be a tough stretch of games where we will learn a lot about this Giants team and what kind of cojones they have going up against the likes of the Ravens, going up against the Browns, and even the Cardinals. Yeah. So Cardinals, to me, this should be a boring game. Yeah. This should be a game in which Joe Judge's conservatism in the second half pays off. This should be a game you let Jason Garrett just pull out all the stops, get as creative as he fucking wants. You go up 2 touchdowns going into the half, and then you just run the ball, sit back, pin your ears back, rush the quarterback on second and long, third and long, no Joe Mixon. This is a win. There's no question that this should be the Giants' fourth win of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, this is a team that, first of all, this is a 2-7 team. It's not like this is a team that was good and then lost their quarterback. No, this was a bad team who lost their young rookie quarterback. We just talked about their offensive line. The Giants should be able to generate a lot of pass rush. They should be able to get to Brandon Allen very easily. Defensively, the Bengals are not that good either. They give up a lot of big plays. They are a team that you can beat through the air. So the Giants should be able to win this game. You pretty much nailed it all. To me, this game is one of those games where you check off, you get the win, and then you get ready for that stretch run where it's 4 games against really tough opponents. But, 7-point favorite. Team is starting Brandon Allen, who was technically their third-string quarterback, not even their second-string quarterback. It's the team's third-string quarterback. You got to take care of business this week, especially if you're a team that is trying to win this division. You gotta pick this one up. You got to get this one because schedule gets tougher.
Yep. Let's talk about the NFC East.
I mean, there's no other way to say it.
It's embarrassing. It's bad. The Eagles... Yes. I guess it's fun because it's competitive, it's really fun. Not fun for anyone outside of Giant. I guess you're right. It's really not fun for anyone that's not a fan of any of these teams.
But think about it.
The Cowboys are winning the division, by the way.
The Cowboys and the Redskins.
Yeah. I had this.
You think so? A lot of people were ruling them out.
Me neither, but
I just can't trust Mike McCarthy, man. There's something about Mike McCarthy where it's like, you know what? This team is going to lose 1 or 2 games that they're supposed to win. And I can't trust Mike McCarthy. But look, Thanksgiving, you get a big division game, right? The Redskins and the Cowboys, or the Washington and Dallas now is, it means something.
It's playoff implications.
Old rivalry. No, this means something for the NFCs. The winner of this game, yes, will be in first place. So it's exciting. I'm excited for this. I'm excited to see what happens, who wins this division, how many games it's going to take. And it starts, you know, Thursday with the Cowboys in Washington. I'm excited for this. The division is very bad. I think personally, 6 wins get you the NFC East. 6 wins get you. I think Philly is.
He's the biggest one.
They have a lot of problems. And Carson Wentz, yes. And he makes $100 million. We talk about this, man. When you're a franchise quarterback and you're making franchise quarterback money, I know the Eagles roster isn't perfect. I know they got issues in the offensive line, receiver. But when you're making $100 million, man. You're the team's franchise quarterback.
This is the most egregious part, in my opinion. You spent a second-round pick on Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts is apparently not good enough in practice, in taking any reps, to replace what you're getting out of Carson Wentz. I mean, these are historically bad numbers for Carson Wentz. Like, I can't even describe it. But to spend a second-round pick on a quarterback like Jalen Hurts and for him not to be good enough to at least replace Carson Wentz in some of these games, or, I don't know, Doug Peterson's a madman. Maybe they run a two-quarterback system for parts of games. But, like, it really is embarrassing. That, to me, that's the most embarrassing part, to waste that high of a draft capital on a guy that's not good enough to replace the output you're getting from Carson Wentz at the moment.
It's not even about starting. Just these sub-packages, like these Taysom Hill packages that they give Jalen Hurts, they're like drive killers. Like against the Giants, they brought him in on a play, and it was – I don't remember what happened, but it was a drive killer for the Eagles. I mean, they're not even using him properly right now. Starting him, I mean, I don't know. What do you think he's a better option than Carson Wentz? I agree that they should definitely consider starting him, and I'll say this. I think before the end of the season –
he should.
Jalen Hurts will start a game for the Philadelphia Eagles. But they're a huge mess right now. And then you look at Washington, who, when they benched Dwayne Haskins, right, I said, this makes no sense. Because
right,
what good does Kyle Allen offer you, right? Like, he's not your future, right? He's not your present, because your present right now, in my opinion, had always been Alex Smith. If this is about winning games, then you should be starting Alex Smith instead of Dwayne Haskins. If it's about the future and seeing what you have, you know what you have with Kyle Allen, so you play Dwayne Haskins. So playing Kyle Allen never made sense to me. When they went to Alex Smith, awesome story, but I don't think this is a team that can rip off. They're 3-7. I don't think this is a team that can win, you know, their remaining three of their remaining, what, six games. I don't see it. They got Pittsburgh. They got Dallas this week. I think they're going to drop this week, and I think they're going to drop to Pittsburgh. And if you look at their schedule, they have another game against a quality opponent in
they're the primetime game,
Seattle,
right?
Seattle Seahawks. Took me a second to look that up, but I had it in the back of my mind. Yeah, I do
right.
know the Seahawks. The primetime Seahawks game is this Monday against the Eagles, but the one they play in Washington is at 1:00. And then they also have to travel to San Francisco to take on the 49ers, who, you know, those type of games mean something to Kyle Shanahan going against the Washington. So you always know you're going to get the best Kyle Shanahan in that game. And then they close it out at the Eagles. So that doesn't seem like a team that's going to go 3-3 and get to six wins. So to me, it's you talk about Dallas and the Giants. Those are the two teams, in my opinion, that are going to be. I think that Week 17 game.
I agree.
The game is.
I really think it's going to come down to that.
Cowboys and the Giants. I think that's going to be it. Yeah. So that's my take on the NFC. Beast.
NFC least.
Or yeast,
that's what we're going to go with.
Or least. Whatever the hell you want to call it.
Okay.
I have a question for you, though. If you are... So, obviously, there's going to be three teams that make the playoffs, in my opinion, from the NFC West, right? And it's going to be Seattle, LA, and Arizona. If you're the team that... Would you rather finish in second place of the NFC West, where you play the winner of the NFC East, or would you rather finish in first place and win the division, get the home playoff game
you
against
buy
a
this
much
year?
Better team than the winner of the NFC East?
And it's the first place, right?
So, only one team gets a bye.
I'd rather get second
and that's
place.
That's
going
to be New Orleans. Yeah, so let's say New Orleans.
I'd rather get
the
second
bye.
Place. Yeah, so I'd rather go
place.
Play an away game against one of these NFC East teams. That's an auto win.
Right. So right now, the Rams would play Arizona, right? And Seattle, who's in second place, would play Philly. So you'd rather be Seattle right now than LA having to play Arizona. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's crazy.
That's the dilemma that this NFC West team, that these NFC West teams face, is, hey, second place or first place? Because... I mean, if especially if the NFL goes into a bubble for the playoffs, where everyone's playing in the same city or whatever, like you, everybody's going to travel and hopefully.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But
it's about matchups then.
The match, yeah. You look at the fact. It's really just an insult to the game of football that one of these NFC East teams is going to be hosting a home playoff game.
Yeah. So there could be a situation where the Seahawks enter week 17 and they're like, should we win or should we lose because we have a shot to play the NFC?
I mean, they're going to win anyway, but I don't think NFC West?
Who do you think is going to win the West?
Let me check this. What is the current standing right now?
So I think the Rams are in first place, or they're tied for first place at 7-3. They have the tiebreaker with Seattle.
In Arizona, it pains me to say it. I think the Rams are going to win. Yeah.
Dude, the Rams are really
good. Not only that, they have the two most underrated, underappreciated, not nationally spoken about receivers in Kupp and Woods. It's insane. They're so good.
Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp? Yeah.
Yeah.
They really
I think the Rams
way against Tampa Bay. You know what's crazy? People talk about Jared Goff, like Sean McVay, and he's all, you know, this is this innovative offense. But the Rams, their fundamental is we're going to run the ball, we're going to play defense, we're going to play good special teams, and we're going to beat you with play action.
And the fact that I think there was like some crazy stat about how they're basically they have one loss over like the last 30 games or something like that when they lead going into halftime. So, yeah, he's done a great job.
Sean McVay is a great coach. He's a great coach, man.
Questions or is there anything else that I'm missing? So going from Joe, who's your favorite beat reporter? Though. Who is your most trusted beat reporter?
Well, he's not really a beat reporter, but Garofolo, man.
He's connected.
That dude knows his stuff when it comes to the Giants. Yeah. In regards to who my I mean, listen, it's the Maryland bias. Jordan and Ron up. You know, we're both Maryland alum, so I got to
This is a really good one, actually, from Breck. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, what are each of you most thankful for about Dave Gettleman's roster building? It can't be sarcastic. It has to be a legitimate compliment.
Oh, my God.
I can go first. James Bradberry.
I would say, I guess, the interior. James Bradberry? Yeah. I mean, James Bradberry is a good choice. I'll say
okay.
I mean, the interior defensive lineman. Regardless how you just brought him in.
For any excuse to bring up USC Leonard Williams.
Right? USC Leonard Williams.
All right. From Saman, win-loss prediction for each of the remaining games, a quick fire win or loss. So let's do that. So
okay.
I guess we could do it together. So Giants, Bengals, win. 4-7?
Sure.
Giants, Seahawks.
Yeah.
Yes. 4-8. I agree. Cardinals, Giants.
They dropped this one. Yeah.
I say L. 4-9. Yeah. Browns.
Okay. 4-9. Yeah.
I think L. 4-10 for me. You have 5-9. I'm 4-10. Giants, Ravens.
5-9, yeah. Baltimore is just.
I get it.
They're going to lose this game.
Me too. But actually,
I could see the Giants. I could see the Giants.
And then Cowboys, Giants. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is where I don't trust McCarthy, man.
Yeah.
To me, he's Jason Garrett with the Super Bowl ring.
I'll say win as well. So I got 5 wins. You got 6
wins. The
Giants
win this game. 6-10.
All right. That's not bad.
Yeah. I'll say this, though. The Giants will win. I'll say this. If they get to six.
Yeah, I think we spoke about that a few weeks ago.
I can't celebrate a 6-10 NFC championship. Yeah, last night I said I can't celebrate 6-10. Give me two of those wins. Give me two wins against. Give me the Cardinals game. I'm saying not. I'm sure. Saying they're going to do it. But let's win the Cardinals game. Let's
me
win
too.
The Browns
I would
game.
Celebrate too.
7-9, I'll celebrate. I'll be like, wow.
Should the Giants try to sign Allen Robinson or Kenny Golladay? Yeah.
In the offseason. Yeah, they need a wide receiver one. If they stick with Daniel Jones in year three, right, which I think it looks like they will, but who knows what happens in the remaining of these games, you have to really load up for year three. Because to me, year three is like, okay, now you're sticking with him. You have enough answers. Now it's about not going all in, but you really got to load up your roster. And
yeah.
They need wide receivers.
They do.
Badly, in my opinion. No more banking on Evan Ingram and Darius Slayton. Good players, but you need to get your alpha playmaker in there. And with Saquon coming off ACL, you need to get a really, really good receiver in there. So, yes, I do think they should target whether it's Allen Robinson or Chris Godwin.
So that's what I'm saying, right? I think the better route is to go draft for a position like this. Because Jordan brought it up, you're going to be paying a premium for two guys who have a pretty extensive injury history. Kenny Golladay, a guy that the Giants haven't really had anyone similar to him, probably since Ramsey's Barden, but actually good, or Plaxico. But Kenny Golladay is a guy that just gets no separation. He is a purely physical jump ball receiver. Allen Robinson, obviously not. But two guys that a lot of teams are going to be after. And you're going to get into bidding wars for them. And you're a roster with a lot of holes. Another possibility also.
Well, I think both of them are going to be franchise tag. Yeah. I don't think the Lions will want to pay Golladay.
I think
they'll try to
For my money,
trade, and same with the Bears.
I'm looking at some of these other guys. You can get Marvin Jones real cheap. Go out there and try to get someone like Will Fuller who could just take the top off of defense. There's some other guys out there that would be serviceable as long as you draft a receiver high. That's what it's contingent on.
But Will Fuller to me has an injury problem too. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I would go the draft route too, just because I think those other guys are going to get tagged. But this is finding a wide receiver.
The Giants had one. They sent him packing.
People say.
Is Garrett back next year? From Sean. Okay.
Well, I do think that they're going to win the NFC East, so I do think he's.
I'll say no.
I think he's going to be back.
My gut says no.
Yes.
Okay.
But it all depends on what happens with Daniel Jones over the course of the
next, of course,
five, six games.
At this point in time, pre-Thursday, who should the Giants be more concerned with, Washington or Dallas? Easily Dallas.
They've beat Washington twice. And we just looked at Washington's schedule.
Dallas has so much talent on the offensive side of the ball. It really is crazy. Oh, God,
Lamb,
how
on earth he fell.
I was
to them.
Furious
I
about
that.
I was absolutely furious. A guy of that caliber.
I sort of wish that if they would have done the Odell trade a year later and had the two
firsts trade up for CeeDee Lamb.
This draft. Yeah, getting CeeDee Lamb. Well, What pick was
15,
CeeDee Lamb?
I think
15. Yeah, so they were 17. Even a guy like Justin Jefferson. I mean, these are wide.
This class was nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. From our good friend Mike, what's better for long term success: making the playoffs this year and getting the experience, while most likely getting out wild card weekend, or missing the playoffs and picking somewhere in the 6-10 range of the draft rather than 18-20?
To me. Well, first of all, you'll be picking 16th if you lose wild card weekend. But to me, the playoff, as a fan, I want to see my team make the playoffs. Yes, look, like I said, 6-10, winning the division is tough to celebrate that. But getting that one playoff game, And it's not like a best of seven series where you're facing these guys seven times. Like, it's no chance. Anything can happen in one game. I mean, we saw last year Carson Wentz gets hurt in the wild card game. You know, anything can happen, right? So, to me, it's the playoffs. As a fan, it's the playoffs. Because you're picking 16th, 8 to 10 versus 16th, six spots. Yeah, I get it. But I'd rather see my team win the division, make the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, we all would. But if you're talking about long-term success, the quickest path to long-term success for the Giants is firing Dave Gettleman. So in that case, I'm just saying, no one wants to see their team lose. But sometimes you have to sacrifice the present for the future. I'm just saying.
I guess.
So.
My hope is, and I said this last week, my hope is that even if Dave Gettleman is back next year, that it's still the Joe Judge show.
Sure.
Because I said last week, we don't know if Joe Judge is going to turn out to be a great coach or not, right? Time will tell. But I asked Jordan point blank, and you guys all heard it, what his opinions were. And he basically, you know, gave us a vote of confidence. Like, hey, you guys should be, as a fan, thrilled with this guy, looking forward to seeing what this guy do. So in my opinion, if that's what, you know, an independent, you know, guy covering the team who has no rooting interest says that, then give him the keys to the organization and let him build the way he wants. You know, if it works, we're golden. If it doesn't,
same spot,
then, you know, we're back to square one, you know, like, so enough with this whole Dave Gettleman, this, that, blah, blah, blah. No, it's the Joe Judge show. So let him do what he can do.
This is a really good question. This is a fun one. Let me get the exact verbiage. All right. If you could have only one player from the six teams that the Giants play the rest of the season, who would it be and why? There's one very obvious answer. Yes.
Russell Wilson.
I'm going to exclude quarterbacks just to make this a bit more fun.
Okay.
So, Seahawks, Cardinals, Browns, Ravens, Cowboys. I have three that come to mind right away.
Well, Myles Garrett.
Okay, didn't even think about him. No, but we'll throw him on the list, so I got four.
Yep. Myles Garrett.
DeAndre Hopkins.
The Bengals. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins.
That was one of mine also. And then there's a Ravens player that I have on my list.
Defense. Marlon Humphrey?
Close. Honestly, it probably should be him. I had Marcus Peters, but Marlon Humphrey's having a better season, I think.
Marlon Humphrey's the better corner, yeah. But I had another one, too. Denzel Ward.
Great pick.
I'll take it from the Browns. I mean, you could basically look at all the teams, whoever their corners are. Yeah, just look at their corners and say, okay, is their corner better than the Giants' number two corner? And if the answer is yes, then add them to the list.
Humphrey, Peters, Patrick Peterson.
But the one player from all these teams, excluding the quarterback,
sure, Myles Garrett. Makes the most sense.
Easily. Yeah. Myles Garrett.
Let's see. Do you think we target a receiver with a higher-end pick or use the money on someone like Golladay or Robinson? I think draft is the most likely route.
It's a good draft for receivers, too, this year again.
What is your expectation for Xavier McKinney? I think we can end on that one.
Yeah, we had Jordan on last week. You know, rookie coming back. He really didn't have a training camp. Obviously, no preseason. They'll ease him in. Will he be a full-time starter by the end of the season? I mean, possibly, but early on, the expectations shouldn't be high, in my opinion. That doesn't mean he won't be a good player down the road, but again, coming in this late, missing all these missed, it's tough to really have an expectation for
him. Yeah, agreed. Anything else before we wrap up?
That's it.
All right.
You know, Thanksgiving Eve.
What's your favorite side?
Go ahead. So my sister-in-law, she makes an amazing cornbread casserole.
Interesting.
Or is it corn casserole? Whatever it is. Yo, this thing is And I also have a friend, a coworker, whose wife has like a bakery, and her pecan pies. I know a lot of people don't like pecan pies.
Pecan's good.
But, yo, this pecan pie was the best pecan pie I ever had in my life. I'm not a pumpkin pie person.
Okay.
I like pecan pie and I like apple pie. But, yo, this pecan pie. Whew.
Mine's got to be mashed potatoes. If you do mashed potatoes right, you get some gravy on there.
Do you like gravy?
Oh, what the fuck is wrong with you? Gravy's amazing.
I don't know, bro.
I'm not a big Thanksgiving person in general. I think turkey is a very overrated meat. It's very overrated. I'd give me beef, chicken, pork over turkey any day. But listen, you love Thanksgiving. And this is the first year, so because of COVID, I'm not seeing my family.
Yeah.
So, no, it's just me and the girl in the apartment with the dog. We're doing our full, like, by ourselves, dude. She was so pissed. This is a funny story. So she sent me out for groceries to pick up everything that we needed to prepare for Thanksgiving. She goes, all right, go get a turkey. Get a small turkey. I'm like, okay. I go to Whole Foods. I'm looking, and this is my first, like, I don't know, like, turkey weights and, like, what's big, what's small.
Yeah.
So I go to the guy at Whole Foods. I'm seeing, like, all right, there's, like, a 18-pound, 19-pound turkey. I'm like, all right. I go to the guy. I go, all right, what's your smallest turkey? He goes, oh, yeah, over there in the fridge, we got, like, maybe some that are, like, 8 to 10-pound range. I don't know. You go check. I'm like, okay. I go over there. The smallest one they had was 13.8 pounds for the two of us. I came home. She was furious. No clue what we're going to do with it. I got to see if we even have a pot big. I got to start brining it today. I got to see if we got a pot big enough for that. But it'll be an adventure.
So it's just you and
your dog. He's going to get some turkey legs for sure.
Man.
Doing mashed potatoes, mac and cheese. We're picking up a pie today, actually. Doing some green bean casserole. It's going to be a feast. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my family likes to go all out. It's a watered down size. I mean, I don't know if we're going to be following the exact CDC guidelines, but we're not traveling anywhere. We're all local. We're probably going to be a touch over 10 or 15, whatever.
Don't tell Cuomo.
I'm not in New York. Yeah, but, you know. Did you read Andrew Cuomo's book?
No, fuck him. Like, all right, quick COVID.
I'm waiting for Dave Gettleman to build his book.
Exactly. All right, quick rant. Cuomo tweeted out that fucking live stream Emmy link. Fuck you, dude. Seriously, fuck you. You had every excuse in the world built in. We're talking about one of the biggest cities in the world with three international airports within a 20-mile, 25-mile radius of each other. A city where living in 40-story apartment buildings is routine. You walk out onto the street, there's fucking homeless people everywhere. The subways are fucking packed and crowded. New York City, COVID, you know, like the Birdman meme where he's rubbing his hands together, walking up to the window. That's what COVID did to New York City. Yes. COVID was just like, oh, fuck yeah, baby. This is going to be it, right?
Yes.
Novel coronavirus means we have no clue what this thing is. We have no idea what treats it, what doesn't treat it, what the appropriate face mask, no face mask thing is. New York got wrecked. And in a time where the president refused to provide any leadership whatsoever, take any sort of accountability, we had the governor from New York sit down, talk to us like adults, give us facts, give us data, talk to us in a calm manner. And as someone who didn't like Cuomo before, it was pleasant to listen to. It was nice. It was leadership in a dark time when no one knew what the hell was going on. Did he fuck up the nursing home situation? Absolutely. Was he the first governor in the entire United States to get this thing under control and basically provide a blueprint for every other state to follow, which they didn't, to get this thing under control? Yes. But when the numbers are rising again and we're still in lockdown and people can't have normal Thanksgiving, probably can't have normal Christmas, we don't know when the first dose of the vaccine is going to come out and be widely available for use, for you to go on your fucking live stream Emmy and promote that like it's something to be proud of right now, dude, Read the room. Yeah, it's bad. Read the room. That was embarrassing, unacceptable, and clown behavior. Straight up clown behavior.
Yeah. There'll be a time for you to do all these, all this stuff and take your self-proclaimed victory lap, but now, you know, that was not it. And I will give people of New York credit. This is the thing that people do, is that they like to give the governors credit for something, but really, people in New York, New Jersey, they took it serious, and they were able to, you know, what is it, lower the curve, or, you know, get over that first wave, and they did a good job, and they controlled it for the most part. And obviously now it was all expected that I was going to rise again, and it's just, it is what it is. But for, he lost me with the book, man. Everyone made mistakes in the beginning. There was no, like, game plan on how to control this. And obviously New York, I mean, just given population, less space, it's crowded. You know, you live there, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people that listen to it know. I don't need to describe New York to you. Obviously, it was going to get hit hard. But for him to write the book and then turn around and do this, I'm not trying to get political.
But that's the thing. The virus is not political. That's the thing. Like you're everything right. that I just stated is facts. Like, right. like the guy, don't like the guy. New York was primed to get hit hard. We didn't know anything about it. Yeah. He provided leadership in a time where no one knew what was going on. And then basically towards the end, clown behavior. Just absolute clown behavior.
Yes. He went into victory formation.
It's like when the player is at the 10-yard line holding the ball out, celebrating, and then a defensive back chases him down and knocks it out of his hand. Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now.
Yes. Yeah. It's
clown behavior. All right.
It was.
That's my Andrew Cuomo rant. I like Chris Cuomo, though. I think, like, for a TV personality, I find him very entertaining. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like the Cuomo family. I mean, regardless of the politics, they seem like, you know, I mean, obviously Mario Cuomo had his ups and downs, in my opinion, but I mean, overall that family was all right. I mean, you know, like with the Bush family, like I think, look, I'm not a fan of the Bush family, but you know, Jeb, you know, outside of his politics, he seems like a nice
little dopey guy, but yeah,
you know, you know, so. Before the politics, everyone loved The Apprentice. Well, a lot of people love The Apprentice. It was one of my favorite shows. But yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up. Thanksgiving.
Yes. Hopefully, everyone is safe. Stay safe. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Some good football games on. Giants are going to be playing meaningful games.
I think we're going to be. If you want the Giants to make the playoffs, we're rooting for the Redskins this week.
Yes.
Sorry, the R words. The Washington football team. I'm going to be saying Redskins forever. This is bad. Washington
football team. I think they're going to keep the Washington football team name.
I like it. Very very European soccer.
Stick to it.
Yeah. Right. All right.
I mean, what are you going to just keep it and just
exactly.
You know, write it out.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN, Weiss at NYG Daily, the blog Gotham SN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Talk to you guys probably next Tuesday. Peace.
Peace.